This week, after spending time with his disciples on the mountaintop, Jesus comes down with them and begins the Sermon on the Plain, addressing a large crowd of disciples and people wishing to be healed. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed all of them. Then he looked at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I invite the children to go out to the comfy chairs with Lori to read. What book is it?
Bedtime is canceled.
Bedtime is canceled. Oh dear. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. It's been a tough week, and these feel like platitudes today. What? When I see someone in the cold, am I supposed to tell them, "Blessed are you, for yours is the kingdom of God"? When I speak to someone who's lost their job, am I to say to them, "Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled"? And am I to say to someone who's weeping now, "You will laugh"? This week on Tuesday afternoon, Pastor Phil and I went to the funeral of a 14-year-old girl who had committed suicide the week earlier. She was the best friend of one of the youth in the congregation. Her name was Mina. By all reports, she was brilliant, smart, creative, and kind. And she suffered from depression. She was 14 years old, and she had demons that wouldn't let her be. Then that night, after I got home from confirmation, I received a call that Michael Copperwood had been found in his apartment dead. 32 years old. 32 years old, and a difficult life. Struggling with addiction. Am I to say to the Copperwoods, "Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh"? No. And then Friday, to wake up and hear about an Amber Alert in Ontario, where a 11-year-old girl was found dead in her father's apartment. Rhea was her name. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. We know it's true that one day we will laugh, but right now, it's time to weep. How can you possibly say, blessed are you, to parents who have lost children, whatever age? How can you possibly say, blessed are you, to parents who are helpless in the face of mental health challenges, in the face of depression, in the face of anxiety, of addiction? How are you to say, blessed are you? Someone said to me, go home and hold Elliot tight. And I want to do that, but even as I hold him tight on Friday morning, I was walking down the hallway carrying him, and he leaned out and hit his head against the corner of the wall. How am I to protect him from the demons of depression and addiction when I can't even protect him from hitting his head against the wall? It's an uncertain world, and we know that we will laugh later when we weep. Sometimes we're even able to laugh while we weep. And then we come to the woes. Usually I prefer the Gospel of Luke to the Gospel of Matthew. I usually find Luke nicer than Matthew. But not in this case, not in the Beatitudes. Matthew has 8 blessings. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of God. Luke has 4 blessings and 4 curses. Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full, for you will hunger. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will weep. Sounds like bad news for me. Bad news for most of us, I think. I don't make much as an intern pastor, but I still have a pretty comfortable life and a warm house roof over my head. I certainly don't hunger. I have lots of food in the fridge at home. In fact, I'm really not worried about starving. I'm more worried about losing a couple pounds of baby weight. And as for that last bit about prophets who are well-liked, well, you guys, for the most part, speak pretty well of me. Should I be concerned that you haven't driven me out of town yet? So what are we to do with these blessings and curses, Luke? The reading from Jeremiah that Jan read is even more blatant. Cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. The Message uses compares those who are cursed to tumbleweeds in the prairie going down the being blown around by the wind. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. And Jeremiah also has blessings, though. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They don't just trust in the Lord. Their trust is God. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. There is the promise. There is the promise that I couldn't find in the blessings and woes that Jesus gives in the Sermon on the Plain. We live in an uncertain world. Things change, situations are reversed. Someone who has a good job one day may lose their job and even their house. the next. They could be helping at the food bank. Those who have been served by the food bank, when they have food, often serve there. So we can go from wealth to poverty, from fullness to hunger, from laughter to weeping in an instant. And that can be tough. We can feel blown aside, blowing around like a tumbleweed in the prairie. But those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord, even when they weep, even when they lose family, when they lose their children, Jeremiah says, are like a tree by the stream. Their roots go deep towards the water, and in the year of drought, they are not anxious, and they even continue to bear fruit. The Sermon on the Plain, which is Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount, ends with the parable of the two foundations, where Jesus compares two people, one who builds their house on, digs deep into the rock to build the foundation, and one who builds a house with no foundation on the sand. Those that listen to Jesus, who take Jesus' coaching, are like those who build their house on the rock, who, when the flood comes, are not washed away, who can be confident that God is with them, that God's got this, that God has them. The beginning of today's gospel begins, or partway through, before Jesus starts speaking, we hear that many people had come to hear Jesus and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed all of them. Not just the disciples, those who had gathered around him just to come and see if it was true. Jesus is speaking to these people who are being healed, who are having their unclean demons cast out by Jesus. It is these people who have come to hear him, to be coached by him, who he is speaking to and telling, blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who weep now. These people are the ones that Jesus is calling blessed. Because they know who their coach is. They know where their trust is. Their trust is the Lord. They, through storms and floods and droughts, they are rooted by the spring of the power, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that they can touch it and be healed. They are digging deep and anchoring themselves to Jesus' word. They receive and apply Christ's coaching. They are blessed because they know God, not because they are wealthy or poor, because they are full or hungry, because they are weeping or laughing. They are blessed because they know God. And through troubles, through storms and floods and droughts, through poverty and hunger and weeping, they know that God's got this, that God's got them. And today in this place, I know that this is a building, this is a church, and not the building, although I'm sure it's well built, but this building has a, this congregation has a deep foundation and walls made of living stones that surround our members who are weeping so that they may be blessed, so that we may be blessed, because we know that God's got this. and God's got them. Thanks be to God for that.